Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. And it's always an honor and a privilege to come to fellowship one with another as we explore the Word of God together. We are the body of Christ, inducted into the household of faith. And it's always an honor to be with you. I thank each and every one of you from taking time out of your busy schedule to call in week after week. And I pray that God get the glory and God be pleased. And God sees your faithfulness. And all I could do is say hallelujah. Well, tonight our program is coming out of the book of Romans. We're going to be in the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 5. And I want you to think on it for a while, because our title tonight is, You Have Been Found Not Guilty. Some of you know that you were guilty. Some of you don't realize that you were guilty, and some of you may feel like you're still guilty. But tonight I come to tell you, you have been found not guilty. We have so much stuff going on in the world today, and I could talk about all of them, but it'll take the whole program. Injustice has just reigned with a loud voice again by not indicting any of the police that killed that girl, Breon. And the worst thing about it, they let them go, and they put charges on one of them whose bullet went in the next apartment. Come on, y'all. The bullet went in there. It didn't kill nobody. Now, those who they didn't indict shot and killed somebody, and there's no charges. But it's the world we live in. But I thank God for being God. I thank God for allowing us to know in the midst of anything and everything that's going on, we are not guilty. And for to understand that you're not guilty is the road to your success in this life and striving for salvation in the eternal life. So what I'm going to do is play a song about how we have been found not guilty. And it's all about the blood of Jesus. So this song talks about Jesus.
It's the air that we breathe, that we move. It's the life that we live should be in Him. Oh, precious, here's the flow that makes me whiter than snow. No other, yep, I know it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why all that I am. Everything that I have.
One moment, y'all. I got a call, and plus I got a prompt. I don't know if everything is going right and y'all could hear me, so hold on. Caller, your number is 715-4676.
I hit it because we weren't hearing you.
Okay. So y'all just thought not hearing me?
It went off the second time the song started.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Good looking out.
Okay.
So, thank you. I'm so sorry that that happened, but it's so good that y'all got my back. I got a call, and that's when I went to answer the call, and then I saw someone prompt the button. But I just want to start praying again. Because you couldn't hear me. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, the giver of every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our great high tower, the God that loves our soul. God, I just want to take time tonight to thank you for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you promised to do in our lives. God, I thank you for being with us through all that is going on. God, there's so many things that we don't understand at these times, with these times, dear God, but we do understand that you are a faithful God, that you have all power in your hand, and that you said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. God, so we're going to hold on to the confession of our faith and believe that you are able and willing to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could actually think. Lord, we don't understand all of your will and your way and your decisions, dear God. But you're so much higher than us that, you know, it would be impossible for us to truly see you totally, dear God. But, Lord, I thank you for allowing us to come together. I pray that the Holy Spirit illuminate and revelate the word of God that goes forth. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit touch the ears, the hearts, and the minds of everyone on this line and anyone who's going to listen to it, even by internet. Lord, I thank you. I praise you, and I honor you because you're worthy to be praised. Lord, one of the reasons you made us to give you glory, honor, and praise. And I pray, dear God, that you get honor and praise in here, this program on tonight, because I'm going to decrease. And I'm going to let you have your way with this program on tonight. Holy Spirit, use me, your vessel. I'm only a vessel made of clay. Have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, and thank God. Well, again, I say that the title of the lesson is We Have Been Found Not Guilty. And some of you may know where I'm coming from with that, but others may not. But I pray by the end of this lesson, we'll all be on one accord and understand the marvelous works that God is doing in and through our lives. So when I say we are not found guilty, I have to first give you a little background to understand the guiltiness that we did inherit. And not just one person, but every person born after Adam was born with a sin nature. Now, I'm going to tell you some things about that sin and what a sin nature does and what it had set up and how Satan had used it and what was his ultimate goal. You see, I'm going to give you a little background tonight. And our background going to tell you how we became guilty. And the scriptures that we're going to expound on is going to tell us that we have been found not guilty. So we're going to walk it back some to come forward. And you see, what I want to say is God created the world in 6 days. And he said, and he saw that it was good. You see, according to the last verse in Genesis chapter 1, after God finished his 6 day creation, which included the making of Adam and Eve, he saw everything he had made, and indeed it was good. Now, I want you to open up your imagination. Look at right there at the after the creation of the 6 day, because you know on the 7 day he rested. So let's say stop it right there before anything else happened, and just imagine this. Imagine living in a world that is free from sin. It is a world where there are no murders, no thieves. It is a place free from racism, hallelujah, injustice, brutality on all levels, where there's no wars or rumors of wars. There will be no divorce, and there will be no physical abuse. You see, in this world, there will be no strife, no hatred or jealousy. You see, in this place, there will be no pain and suffering. It would never make you fearful or scared, because in this world, there would be nothing to fear. And the best part is, in this world, we would have a perfect relationship with God. Now, that's what God created. And sometime after I painted that beautiful picture, some people may believe that such a world never existed, or that such perfection will be known only in heaven. But God created a paradise where Adam and Eve lived. Come on, y'all. The most wonderful thing about the world before sin was that Adam and Eve lived in complete harmony with God. There was no sin separating them from their creator. You see, before sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve had a personal, intimate relationship with God. But once sin entered the world, it severed that relationship. You see, because God cannot indwell in sin. So God was separated from them. Hallelujah. Because they were guilty. They were guilty. You see, and at that time they didn't have blood sacrifices. And you didn't need forgiveness for sins, because there was no sin before the sin. So I come to tell you tonight, truly, before the fall of man, that's when he sinned, a paradise existed here on earth. Playing, y'all. That's the way he planned it for us, his people. But if you look closely in the Bible, everything that God set up for man, man found a way to destroy it. And it's been happening since the beginning of time. There's no more beginning besides Adam and Eve. Come on, y'all. You see, even though the sin of man brought a tragic end to the earthly paradise once known by Adam and Eve, God graciously has promised that he will give an eternal life in a heavenly paradise. You see, it was God's intentions that we live in paradise. Now, so since it was God's intention, it was a part of his plan, even though man stepped in and stepped on it, God is still going to bring it to its fruition, because that's his will. It don't make his will go away because man did what he did. But sometimes, you know, like in the wilderness, when they was going to the promised land and it was going to take 5 days to get there because of man's disobedience, they wandered for 40 years. Now, so it took them longer to get to the promised land, but they got there. Now, if we take and line ourselves up with that, God created a paradise for Adam and Eve and for mankind, and their disobedience, making us go all around, like ring around a rosy. But just like the Israelites got to the promised land, we're going to get to paradise. And it might not feel like it here, but one day we will enter paradise, a new Jerusalem here on earth, where everything is going to be like God intended it to be in the first place. See, God don't plans and intentions away for his people. People sometimes cause the plans to be put on hold. Instead of going straight forward, you might have to go all the way around and come back and maybe sometime go back around again. But you got to realize it's not God, it's man. Hallelujah. You see, when man sinned, it separated us from God. The relationship could no longer exist because sin separated us. God said, if you eat, you will surely die. That's what he told them, y'all, plain and simple. So they ate. And I want to tell you right now, the deaths that we're experiencing in 2020 are the same deaths that the sin that brought dead in the world is still collecting. Sin is still collecting its things. Debt is one of them. Disease is one of them. Sickness is one of them. Pandemics is one of them. Sin is still having havoc because once it entered, it entered. So you might say, why don't God or why didn't God just erase it, or why he just didn't do something. But God is doing what he wanted to do. Neither one of us is for the privilege to really come up with something that God is doing, because everything that God is doing is perfect, even though it don't seem like that to us. God is a perfect God. God had a master plan before the foundation of the world. And the plan is just being worked out. Now, in his plan, he knew Adam and Eve was going to sin. He knew in 2020 we would have a pandemic. Come on, y'all. He knew our president wasn't going to be for the people. He knew that the police was going to go crazy with hardened hearts and deliver injustice to just people. God knew this, y'all. And he's working it out together for our good. And one thing I want you to get tonight, and I can really stop the program if you really get this. God is concerned with our everyday life here on earth. But God is most concerned about our eternal life. Because you see, this life here, the Bible says that it's only a vapor. The book of James. That it's here today and it's gone tomorrow and it's like a puff of smoke. But God says, you're putting all of your hopes, your dreams, and aspirations in what you could see. Because if you could see it, you don't need faith. Come on now, y'all. God says, if you're looking at the things of the world and you want the things of the world, he said, I told you, you're not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Because all the world is concerned about is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Come on, y'all. He said, but I got something better for you, and it's going to be eternal. He said, so sometimes you got to take your sight off of just what you see And remember, because your hope is placed in your salvation, which grants you eternal life. You see, God told him, if you eat from this fruit, you're going to die. You see, they didn't understand everything, but they knew right from wrong. Hallelujah. So God told them to don't do it or you'll die. Satan tricked Eve. Eve ate. And because they didn't die immediately. And Adam say, maybe Satan is true because Eve didn't die. So he ate. You see, they didn't receive physical death immediately. Did receive a spiritual death. They were separated from God. Their soul was separated because, you see, they were guilty. Keep that in mind. They were guilty. And everyone born after them was guilty of the same thing. And they didn't die immediately. But guess what? They died. And in 2020, people are dying every day. So the death that God talked about is still happening. And it's going to happen until it's all over. Because sin is collecting its debt. You see what happened? When they ate it and they didn't die immediately and got a spiritual debt, what it did, it placed them on a road to die. And we all became as dead men walking. And all of you know the rest is history. But I come to tell you tonight, God in his ultimate wisdom, he knew that man in and of himself could never reverse the decision. And we all were destined to die. And we still got to die, but those who accept Christ as your Savior have eternal life. And that's the difference. Come on, y'all. We all had a death sentence, a penalty that we could never pay, no matter who we were. I don't care if you was a priest, a king, a queen, a prophet, a judge, a Jew, a Gentile, or a Samaritan. We all were destined to die. You see, Romans 6:20 declared that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we see here, we were found not guilty because of Christ Jesus. And for us to have Christ Jesus, God had to allow his son to come and die and shed his blood and be buried and resurrected and then ascend back to heaven so that we could receive the gift of grace. Hallelujah, y'all. And if we accept Christ with our whole heart, I'm not talking about no sideways, no joking, no faking till you make it. I'm talking about if you really, truly love God, accepted Jesus because you knew you need a Savior, that you couldn't save yourself, and you accepted him in your life as your Lord, your Savior, and Master, you were saved. God loved us so much, even after man sinned. He loved us so much that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's love. And God said like this in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. And not as if by one that sinned. One man's sin caused all of us to be found guilty and covered in darkness of sin. He said, one man's sin, so is the gift of one man. For the judgment was by one. One man brought us into condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Adam and Eve's sin brought us into condemnation. We couldn't pay the price. God sent his son. Jesus paid the price, the debt price, hallelujah, the sin price with his blood. And that's why I could say we have been found not guilty. Romans 5:17, for as by one man offenses, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, you see, when y'all see this word righteousness, and you need to pay attention because they say unto the gift of righteousness. Okay. We could never be righteous enough to save ourselves. Come on, now, just stick with me with here. I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care how many times you do the rosary. I don't care how many times you do whatever. Believe me, the Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God, one way or another. And if you sin, little sin is still a sin. Big sin is still a sin. So none of us could be righteous enough to save ourselves, even after we accept Jesus Christ, because we still have flesh on our body, and flesh is going to create fleshly things. Sometimes the spirit winning, sometimes the flesh winning. You're trying to be more of the spirit and less of the flesh. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Because there's some people who think they walk in a straight, narrow road and they don't do anything. But they might sit down and eat one meal and overeat. The Bible classified as gluttony. You might see somebody and you turn up your nose at them. That's a proud look. That's a sin. And don't talk about if you try to tell a little what you call a white lie. And you might be calling yourself doing it to make peace. That's a sin. So none of us can be righteous in and of ourselves. But once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, God extended his righteousness towards us. Hallelujah. That's why it's called the gift of righteousness. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the offense of one judgment came upon all men condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. And that's how I could say you have been found not. That's our background, y'all. I told you how we got guilty. I told you how we came from out of guilt. Now, let's look at this. The Apostle Paul is in our scripture. We're in the 8th chapter, the 1st to the 5th verse. Now, I pray you got your Bible. Paul is reminding us tonight. The scripture verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, y'all. Somebody need to be shouting. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And I told you there's a war going on every day between the flesh and the spirit. Your spirit do not crave any things that's not of God. So you see all of the sin in the world, and I'm even talking about Christians who make mistakes and errors of fall from grace or whatever. It's because your flesh, not your spirit. Your spirit craves the things of God. That's your spirit when you want to do better. You want to study better. You want to read more. You want to help more. You want to give more. You want to love more. Hallelujah. That's the spirit. Feeling good, which is temporal. You know, materialistic things at all costs. Greed. Come on, y'all. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What we are doing, y'all, what we are trying to do, and hopefully all of us are, is trying to be led by the Spirit, be more of the Spirit and less of the flesh. And I want to tell you the things that the flesh, see, sin that Adam and Eve brought in the world, it dwells in the flesh. And the reason why flesh was never just taken out of the world, because sin dwells in the flesh. And we need flesh to live here on earth. That's why when you die and go into the grave, hallelujah, and you go in the grave, the first thing you lose is the flesh. Hallelujah. And if we look at the rapture when Jesus comes back for his church, and I want you to know everybody who has accepted Christ Jesus is the church, not the building, but you are the church. Jesus is coming back for his church when he comes back for his people. He's coming back for his church. And what he's going to do is take off this corruptible, which is this flesh, and he's going to give us an incorruptible robe. Hallelujah. You see, because until you can get the flesh out of the way, there will be sin. It could be just sin thought. It could be sin for attitude. Because it's going to be, y'all, because we live in the flesh. Sin dwells in the flesh. But Paul told us tonight there is no more condemnation. Who walk condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So I encourage each and every one of you tonight, check your walk. And I don't care how good you are and how holy you are and how sanctified you are and how many theological degrees you have. Sin is going to do what sin does. You see, but there's no condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus. So I want to tell you tonight that you have been found not guilty. When we take a good look at the scripture, the word condemnation, it should catch your eye and your attention. You see, because the Bible speaks so much of condemnation because of the sin of mankind. It says that your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden from you so that he does not hear what you're asking. That's how we was, y'all, when we were guilty. You see, in the Bible, the word condemnation is synonymous with damnation. We was damned, y'all. We was going to die. First of all, we was going to live. And eventually we're going to die because everybody got to die. But we'd have died in our sin unto damnation. We wouldn't have had eternal life. Come on, y'all. It would be over. In hell, damnation. You see, it's synonymous with judgment. Condemnation. Our condemnation judgment was guilty. It represents punishment, destruction, and it has nothing to do with anything favorable. You see, in its stronger sense, condemnation means the eternal damnation to all those who never accepted God by rejecting with disobedience to the will of God. 1 Timothy 2:4-6 speaks to the will of God when it says, who will that all men be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Come on, y'all. Jesus paid the price. Jesus He didn't even just get us. He didn't just get us out on bond. Because you see, you could have had a chance to be still found guilty if you had a day in court. You see, but he testified and his blood satisfied and he justified and we got a verdict of not guilty. Hallelujah. He gave himself a ransom for all to testify in due time. God knew we couldn't or wouldn't be perfect after sin into the world. That's why he's not looking for your perfection, y'all, tonight. I got to tell y'all that. Hold on to this, what I'm telling you. God looking for your perfection. He's only looking at your direction. Can you understand that? God knew we could never be perfect, because if anyone could have been perfect, then all of us would have had a chance to be perfect, and God wouldn't have had to send his son. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. The scripture said, if you are in Christ, there's no condemnation, no penalty to be paid, and your verdict is now not guilty. You see, the blessed promise of no condemnation is only extended to those who are in Christ. So if we got all these unsaved people walking around, maybe in your family, your neighbors, you want them to have the freedom of being found not guilty. So you got to share the word with them, y'all. Because the only ones that don't have no condemnation is the ones that has accepted Christ. So we have work to do. You see, when we accept Christ as our Savior, your sins are taken away by the blood of Jesus. Look at this, y'all. And when God sees you, he no longer sees your sin, but sees you as righteous, the righteous he has given you, because you have accepted his son. But it's not because you're doing everything right, but because the righteousness of God that has been extended to you by what was accomplished at the cross with Jesus. So now when Jesus looks at you, he can only see his son. So am I giving you a license to do whatever you want to do? The Bible says, God forbid. Let me take you and tell you this a little bitty while. You see, if you pay attention to all God gave up for you, God gave you his greatest treasure, his son. How many of y'all is willing to give y'all sons and y'all daughters to save somebody? How many? And God is not asking you to do that. But God gave his son. And y'all know the debt that Jesus had. They whipped him all night long. They pierced his hand and put thorns on his head. Come on, y'all. They hung him on a cross and they beat him and they pierced his side. Suffering. That's why he's called the suffering Christ. Now, if Jesus did all that for you, how much are you willing to do that he asks us to do in his word? And y'all got to realize God's not asking everybody to do the same thing. You see, he might have me praying four times a day for somebody. And he only wants, you know, he's satisfied with your prayer at night. And God never going to ask you to do something he haven't given you the ability and the gift to do it. So everything you're not doing, God has already supplied everything that you need to do what he asks. And you're just not doing it. God's not going to ask you to sing the solo at the church, because you don't have the gift to sing. God is speaking through his Holy Ghost to each and every one of us for the work that he has designed for us. Either you're doing it or you're not. Some people have ignored the Holy Ghost so long, they can't even hear his voice. But believe me, you know, God might only want you to give the men working on the house next door a bottle of water. I don't know. It's not all of these extra supernatural things you think he might be asking you to do. First of all, he ain't going to ask you like that. God is intelligent. God knows you inside out. Everything you are, God did it. God created you. Come on, y'all. So I want to tell you right now, you're not going to do good because we already say we're not guilty when we accept Christ, our sins is gone. So you're not trying to do good to be saved. But I just reason with you tonight that because you are saved, you should want to do good. And if we look at the other scriptures, the scriptures say, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin. You know, they had the law before there was grace. When Jesus came on the scene, the law was no longer, but Jesus didn't come to condemn it, but he came to fulfill it. He gave us a more excellent way. He gave the law. I'm going to tell y'all about the law in a minute. The law of sin and death, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. See, Jesus had to be born by a woman and take on flesh to save our flesh. See, his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit mind the things of the spirit. You see, once we accept Jesus Christ, we receive the spirit of life. You know, that's the Holy Ghost. You see, once we accept Jesus Christ, Jesus allowed his spirit that he left on earth when he went to sit at the right hand of the Father. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone, and I'm not going to leave you comforted. He said, I'm going to leave my spirit, and my spirit is going to do for you everything that you want, everything that I would do for you if I was still here. He said, my spirit that's in you going to give you power to do the things that I would want you to do. I want y'all to be my hands and my mouth and my ears and my feet on earth till I come back. But I know you can't get it done by yourself, so I'm going to give you my spirit. So you accepted Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost came, lived in you, and he sealed you with a seal to the day of redemption. Come on now. And it's living inside of you, leading and guiding you to the righteous paths that God has established for you. The objective work of God in Christ is that the righteous requirement of the law has been fulfilled in us. We are no longer bound under the law that can keep us in the guilty status. We're living under grace. You see, the law was weak, and nobody could save up through the law. There was 613, and it would say that if you fail in one, you fail them in all. So if you doing the law and you did 612 and you messed up one time, you were still guilty. God said, that's too hard for my people. He said, come and take this yoke upon you, the yoke of Jesus Christ. He said, because my burdens are light. Come on, y'all. Yoke up with Jesus. You know, a yoke was the thing they put on the animals when they were working the field, and it had two holes where they would put two heads in it. See, we trying to be Christ-like. We trying to be even-till. Because you see, really and truly, if Christ is in the yoke on one side and we on the other side doing absolutely nothing, Christ would have to be dragging us. It would be a mishmack. It wouldn't be working out. Jesus Christ, when God created mankind, he said, let us make him in our image. Christ-like, Christianity is Christ-like. I ain't asked none of y'all to be Christ, because you couldn't. But a God is asking that each and every one of us be the best us we can be. You see, the law could never take away the sins. It only covered them. Now we see why Jesus sent his son in the likeness of the sinful flesh for our sins. Because when Jesus dropped his head and died, he said, it's finished. He didn't want you to have to go through a 12-step program to come to him. Jesus said, come as you are. And a matter of fact, Jesus, the scriptures say, while we were yet in our sin, Jesus came and took us in, y'all. We didn't get right to come to Jesus. The Holy Ghost brought an invitation, and you felt something in your body saying, it's time. And you went up and you gave the man of God your hand, and you gave God your heart. And I come to tell you tonight, you didn't go looking for God. God came looking for you. So don't get it twisted. God loves us more than we could ever comprehend. And even though all of this is going on in the world today, God has not left us or forsaken us. God said, I got a much better day for you, baby. And this is the thing, y'all. This is the most amazing thing I could share with you right now, because my time is getting short. You see all of the injustice and the unfairness and everything that's going on in the world? Let me be hypothetical and say I die. Well, I ain't going to say tomorrow, so it won't seem so morbid. But say I die, and I ain't going to even say no time for me dying. But let's say like this. Let's say the person that died today, they're already dead, so we're not talking like that. When they die and close their eyes, they don't remember Brianna got shot in her bed. There's no more anguish. There's no more suffering. There's no more hurt. There's no more pain. They're not going to remember Floyd's death. They're not going to remember the misleadership that Donald Trump exhibited. You're not going to remember it. The scripture says, absent from the body and present from the Lord. So we feel this right here on earth, but it's going to stop here. Dead doesn't intertwine with the living, and we're living doesn't intertwine with the dead. I don't know if that's any consolation, but that's our hope. So we will have a better day. God didn't promise it all on this side. And I'm not making light of what's going on, but ain't nothing we could do about it. We can't make the president be different. We can't make the police be different. All of those big-time people and legislators and the Congress and the Senate and this can't do nothing. What you think you could do? They can't get nothing better order. We got a Supreme Court. We got a district court. We got a civil court. We got judges all around the world. So it's not like we don't have laws, and it's not like we need more laws, because the laws that we already have, nobody's following them, because everybody, as the Bible says, is leaning to their own understanding. They're having a way with it the way they want. And because so many people are all right with it, because you see, if you got a horrible plan, but it's going to make money, everybody want money, going to go with your plan. And if you're going to do horrible things to the ones you don't feel have, that you feel have less value, you don't mind them taking them out. And I'm going to show you something that I thought of today that's just so something. That police would have had his knee on a dog on that ground, and all them people were looking. I guarantee you they would have gave him something. They would have did something to him. Ask Michael Vick. all them years he spent in heat. You know, maybe some of the dogs died, but he wasn't brutally killing the dogs. He was, well, you know, and they take their big guns and go hunt down animals. But, you know, for them it's a different sport. But that's the world we live in. So I come to encourage each and every one of you tonight and let you know that you are not guilty. And if I have any time, I'm going to say this. You accepted Christ. God found you not guilty. Jesus took away the sin. But I have to tell you tonight that you have consequences for them sins. Jesus took away your sins, but the consequences of those sins, they still belong to you, and you have to pay that. So if you don't want to pay consequences of going to jail, maybe robbing a bank, then go to jail, don't rob the bank. Because the consequences you're going to have to pay, but you're going to be forgiven for that sin if you belong to God. And the other thing that I wanted to say is God is telling us what he has done for us, what he planned to do for us, and what he's doing for us right now. So all he asks us is to please seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything you do, seek God first. Seek God in his righteousness. God said, if you do that, I done already forgave your sins. I could use you for my service. And everybody's going to be fared better. He said, because if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, I guarantee you everything else going to come to you. But seek ye God's way. Seek ye first God's kingdom. The way God's kingdom is a moral standard of living that is specified in the Holy Bible. Seek God's word first. And he said, if you do that, you'll be able to let your light so shine before men. And they will see your good works and glorify me, your Father, which is in heaven. He said, when you come here, when it's all said and done, he said, you come before me. When you come before my throne, he said, I'm going to be able to tell you thy good and faithful servant, well done. He said, because only those things you did for Christ lasted. Everything else burns with fervent heat. So that's our lesson for tonight. Not guilty. Not guilty. If anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone right now, and I'll give you a chance to speak. If you want to sing, if you want to pray, if you want to do anything, press the one button on your phone. The only... Okay. Caller, your number is 504-458. What's your pleasure tonight?
I just want to thank God for that lesson and just, you know, give him the glory for using you. And it's amazing that we don't remember anything. That's the beautiful part about it. When this life is over, we won't have to remember any of these talks and all this stuff that we went through. Amen.
That's right. You see, that's the way God planned it. Like people are saying, oh, my mama is turning over in her grave. Your mama ain't worrying with the troubles of this world. God didn't plan it that way. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. This life is passed away, and oh, behold, we're going to see the beauty of the next in our eternal life through salvation. Thank you so much, my sister. Anyone else would like to say anything? The one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 90812. I think that's Sister Rosemary Coleman. Your mic is open. Sister Coleman, if you're talking, we can't hear you.
Oh, I had you on mute. I'm sorry. I said I enjoyed this lesson tonight, Sister Diane, because I like the part where you told us about our being guilty, and now we are not guilty. But even though we're not guilty, we still have to walk righteous, right?
Well, we should want to, right? That's God's goal. He saved us to be ambassadors for him on earth. He saved us to shed a word. He, when God said in the Old Testament, he dwelt among his people. In other words, he made the miracles. When they was hungry, he let bread come from heaven, and they wanted water, they hit a rock. He said, "Send my son, I done sent my son to die for y'all, and I done left my spirit. Y'all going to have to be miracles to each other." And that's why he said, "When I was hungry, you fed me not." And that's why he said, "The greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's what he's trying to get us to do here on earth.
Amen.
We should, you know, be conscious of trying to please God. And then, you know, God help us, because, you see, God then gave us no guilty. But we put ourselves in condemnation all the time. We always on a guilt trip for something or another. God has forgiven us, and we haven't learned to forgive ourselves. So God say, you know, be ambassadors for me. Can you be an ambassador for God here on earth? That's why he said it too, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Just imagine a world when everybody did their part. Finish, my sister?
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to tell you guys, when you're on the line with me, you know, nobody could hear what's going on in your house. The only time I could hear anything, if you press the one button and I open the mic. So you don't need your mute button when you're on the phone on this program.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, my sister. I have another caller. Your number is 61519. Your mic is open.
Hey, Sister Diane. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing fine. And you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God is good. I feel there are points I wanted to make. Like, the thing is, you say that we're not guilty, and people don't know because people are mistaught. You look at John 17:17, and Jesus said, "Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to take the world out of them, sanctify them with thy word, for thy word is truth." So once you're sanctified, you're made holy, you're set apart, you're set aside, you're sealed, then the Bible said, "Where sin abounds, grace even more abounds." So, and you talked about the transformed mind, which you have to have, you know, because that's what, once you save, sanctified, then you're gonna, that's what James said. You show me your faith, I'm gonna show you my works, because faith without works is dead. So I think when people learn that everything they need, they have inside of them when they're sanctified, because in Our Father prayer, it says that, on earth as it is in heaven, meaning that your earthly presence is supposed to have heavenly experiences. You're not supposed to die to experience heaven. You're supposed to experience heaven right here, now, on earth, on the Bible, based on the Bible. Lastly, you gave a good pitch on, you know, a good, you spoke well on, you know, your lesson, as you always do. But I was paying attention, And there is, and again, we have to know what's expected of us. So the Bible tells us that we should, the Bible says this, be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. So God wouldn't tell us to be something that we couldn't be. But how do we reach that perfection? In God, where sin abound, grace even abound. Once you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you sealed, now you become perfect in God. Now, does that mean that we won't do nothing? No, but we don't live a sinful life. Why? Because we have a transformed mind. So we speak different, we think different, we walk different, we do different. God bless you. Thank you for your lesson. Again, your dedication, commitment. I'm going to shut up so you could talk. God bless you, sister.
No, we to the end now. But I understand what you say, because be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you could, you know, see what is holy, acceptable will of God, you know, and beseech you, you know, make your body a living sacrifice. And it's only our reasonable service. You know what I'm saying? We're not doing right to be saved, but because God has saved us, we should want to please our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Thank you, my brother. Always a pleasure.
Bless.
And Illyria Mackey, you had pressed to give me a prompt to tell me that you couldn't hear me. So I wouldn't be able to tell if you wanted to say anything, so I'm just giving you this opportunity before we close tonight.
No, I'm good.
All righty then. That's our lesson for the day. If anyone else would like to say anything, you could say it at this time. If not, I'm going to give a benediction, and we're going to close. As my brother came on the line and spoke about us trying to be the best that we can, you know, because of what God did for us, I'm going to use a benediction from 2 Peter 3 and 18. You see, Peter, before he was going to be martyred and he was going to be executed upside down on the cross, Peter left his last writing with us that says, he asked us, no matter what we do, I guess Peter said, if you know like I know, I suggest that you continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, for now and forevermore. Amen. We have to keep growing, God, y'all. We have to keep becoming better. We have to keep moving towards God, which is our reasonable service. That's our plan, our program for tonight. God be with you until we meet again. God loves you, and so do I. If God say the same, we'll be back next week, same time, same station. Everybody, I pray to God that each and every one of us be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.